Let's turn to the Word of God, Acts chapter 24. We'll be reading from verse 22 to verse 27. And to set the stage for this passage, it concerns the trial of Paul the Apostle. And we know he had been brought to a hearing because false charges were leveled against him. He was a disturber of the peace, they were saying. He was a troublemaker. And he ends up before Governor Felix. And so we pick up at verse 22. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. And this morning, we want to consider the case of a man who came, as it were, shades within the kingdom of God and life eternal, a man who had a tremendous opportunity to enter into a saving relationship with God, yet sad to say, a man who, from all indication, from every indication we have here in our passage, walked away from the grace of God, a lost man. His name, Felix. And in analyzing our text, we want to consider two things about this man. We want to consider, number one, his favorable circumstances. And we want to consider, number two, his fatal choice. His favorable circumstances and his fatal choice. Let's consider, first of all, his favorable circumstances. There were certain things about Felix which made him a likely candidate for salvation. If ever there was a man who would be saved, if ever there was a perfect candidate for salvation, here was a man, Felix. In the first place, Felix, we discover from our text, was reasonably informed. He was reasonably informed with respect to the Christian faith. Paul had been on trial facing false malicious charges on account of his faith in Jesus Christ. His detractors had alleged that he was a troublemaker, a disturber of the peace. But of course, Felix knew far better than to believe what they were saying, because in verse 22, Luke describes him as having a more exact knowledge about that way. And that phrase, that way, and its cognate, the way, are found seven times in the book of Acts. Seven times in the book of Acts you'll find this phrase, the way or that way, and these phrases refer to the Christian life, the Christian way of life. And in saying that Felix had a more exact knowledge of the way, Luke does not intend here to convey that Felix had what we might call all the doctrinal ramifications of salvation, of what it meant to be saved. Rather, that Felix had a reasonable first-hand knowledge of the Christian life. Also, because for a number of years he had been governor of Judea, as such, he would have known a great deal about Jesus. He would have known about the crucifixion of Jesus. He would have known about the miracles of Jesus. He would have known about the alleged resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And in addition, having been governor over Judea for quite some time, Felix would have come to know that followers of Christ weren't the kind of people to go around stirring up trouble. They weren't the kind of people to be disturbing the peace. Christians, as he saw them, were peace-loving, godly citizens. Felix, you see, was well informed regarding the power of the way of Christ to transform lives for good. There are many today sitting under the preaching of the Word of God who are far more informed of the Christian faith than Felix was. They are far more knowledgeable of the transforming power of the gospel. Why? Because they're surrounded by Christian friends. They're surrounded by Christian families. They hear the gospel constantly. They sit under the preaching of the Word of God. From time to time, they read gospel tracts. They are well informed as to what it means to be Christian. They are well informed of the truths of the gospel. They have enough that they need to know in order to be saved. The sad reality is that they are, to this point, not saved. Maybe that describes you this morning, well informed about the truth as Felix was. You have been exposed to the gospel maybe from your childhood days in Sunday school. You have been to Christian school year in, year out. You have been under the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel, yet you have not come to Christ. You are still not saved, still lingering outside of Christ. Oh, my friends, may I remind you of this? That every truth that you know from the Word of God, every truth that you know of the gospel, God is going to hold you to account one of these days when you stand before Him in judgment. Understand this, that those same truths that you know of the gospel, those same truths that you know from the Word of God, will one day rise up against you as witness when you stand before the judgment bar of Almighty God. Now watch this. Felix was reasonably informed regarding the Christian way, that is the way of Christ, the way of the gospel. Second, Felix was religiously inclined. He's represented in our text as a man who was sensitive, as a man who was sympathetic to the things of God. As evidence of his religious sensitivity, notice first of all, according to verse 23, he was concerned about the servant of Christ. Do you notice that he was concerned about the servant of Christ? Because having adjourned the tribunal, we notice in verse 23, the Bible says concerning Felix, how that he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. And you have to understand the society at that time. You have to understand the culture at that time to understand this, that here was a Roman official who went contrary to the typical Roman officials of that day, because Roman officials of that day were very harsh, were very brutal, especially to prisoners. Here we see that unlike many a Roman official of his time, Felix was not a harsh and callous man. No, here we see him extending kindness and humanity toward the apostle. Here we see him treating Paul with utmost dignity, relaxing as much as he could the rules of custody. Why? Because evidently he recognized in this man, the apostle Paul, something of the God he knew and loved and served. Religiously inclined as he was, not only was Felix concerned about the servant of Christ, but notice secondly, Felix, according to verse 24, was curious about the things of Christ. He was concerned about the servant of Christ, but notice as well, he was curious about the things of Christ. Because we are told there in verse 24, some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul. Watch this. he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Now that is truly amazing. And in hearing Paul discourse on faith in Jesus Christ, Felix had before him, standing before him, one of the ablest and most gifted preachers of the Word of God. He sent for none other than the Apostle Paul, who knew the ins and outs of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may have been that Felix was captivated. He was really impressed by what he saw in Paul's earnestness, Paul's love for God, Paul's sincerity, Paul's courage during his trial. And would you notice here? Evidently, there was a first hearing where Felix had Paul before him. And notice here, our text tells us, he sent for Paul once again. Why did he send for him? To hear about faith in Christ. And for whatever reason, Felix was impelled to send for Paul to hear about Christ. This much we can say, that Felix had a keen interest in hearing of the gospel. It's really a remarkable thing when we stop to think of it, that when a man shows interest in the things of God, when a person is impelled to seek God, what we need to understand, that itself is a token of divine grace. Because here's the truth, my friends. The Word of God teaches that there's no man in and of himself, no woman in and of herself, who naturally gravitates toward God, who goes out of the way to seek after God. And may I suggest to you, unknown to you, you might suggest, well, I am here this morning because someone invited me. I'm here this morning because, out of curiosity, I've never been to this church before. May I suggest to you that God, in His providence, by His grace, brought you here. Why? Because He wants to speak to you words of love, words of grace, words of forgiveness, words of eternal life. We discover from the text that not only was Felix reasonably informed as to the Christian way, not only was he religiously inclined, but thirdly, he was rightly instructed. He was rightly instructed as to how he could be saved. For Paul laid out before him the salient themes of the gospel. Paul laid out to him exactly what he needed to hear if ever he was to come to a saving knowledge of God into life eternal. First of all, verse 24c suggests this. It actually tells us this, that Felix heard from Paul about faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. In this regard, Paul went to the very core, he went to the very heart and soul of the gospel, because at the end of the day, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is not about human goodness. The gospel is not about how religious a person might be. The gospel is not about how much good works one does. The gospel is not about which member of a church you are. You could be a member of a church, you could take sacraments, you could take Holy Communion, you could be baptized 1,000 times over. That will never draw you into the gates of heaven. Here it comes. The point is this. The Word of God teaches the very core of the saving gospel of Christ is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about faith, not in man, not in some priest, not in some clergy, but faith in a person, faith in the God-man, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we need to hear this, that if ever a man is to be saved, it will not be by how good he is. It will not be by whether he was a member of this church or that church. It will not be by his reputation. It will be centered on the question as to whether he was exercising faith in Christ. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is faith and faith in Christ alone that saves. It is faith in Christ the crucified that saved. For the Bible declares in Acts chapter 4 verses 11 and 12, and there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We hear from the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus in John chapter 14 verse 6 says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No, it is not by Allah. It is not by Krishna. It is not by Buddha. It is by the God-man. It is by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to verse 25, Paul expounded to Governor Felix what faith in Jesus Christ entailed. And we notice, first of all, he spoke to Felix about righteousness. He spoke to him about righteousness. What is righteousness? In Scripture, particularly as it relates to the gospel, righteousness concerns right relationship with God, which issues in right attitude, right conduct toward God and toward man. And in discussing the subject of righteousness, Felix would have heard from the Apostle Paul that there is none righteous, no, not one. He would have heard coming from the lips of Felix that all men, however good they are lacking in divine righteousness, that they stand all guilty, condemned before God. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 20. Felix would have heard that. No doubt Felix would have heard from coming from the Apostle Paul how that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He would have heard that heaven is not for everyone. He would have heard that unless a person repents, unless a person embraces the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that person has no hope of heaven or of life eternal. Felix would have heard that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, Romans 1 and verse 18. He must have shown Felix how that notwithstanding his sinfulness, notwithstanding his guilt before God, he could find from God a righteousness not of his own making, but the righteousness that comes from God through Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone. Undoubtedly informed Felix how that he could be regenerated by the Spirit of God, how that he could be clothed with the imputed righteousness of Christ, how that this righteousness would enable him to stand before a holy and righteous God. But I notice in the text, not only did Felix hear from the Apostle Paul about righteousness, but notice secondly, Paul spoke to Felix about self-control. What is self-control? When we examine Scripture, self-control is this, Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. It is that ability, that divine ability, divinely implanted ability, whereby having tasted of the grace of God, the saving grace of God, we learn, we know what it is to say no to ungodliness. You see, Paul preached about faith in Jesus Christ, but Paul preached that when a man comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that man is changed, and one of the changes that occurs in his life is that he is self-controlled. He is under a new management. He is not under the rule of the flesh. He is under the rule of the Spirit of God. He is mastering his lusts. For if anyone is in Christ, the word of God teaches, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And watch what is happening here, because as Paul spoke about self-control, Paul dwelt upon a timely and relevant subject, particularly for Felix. We know from secular history the kind of man that he was, both public and private. In public life, he was a most cruel, corrupt politician. It is said of him that he could not, when he could not have his way, then he would hire assassins who would, you know, eliminate his opponents. That's the kind of man he was. He was ruthless. He often secured his political positions through murder, through intrigue. His regime was marked by injustice, by extortion. He was notorious for taking bribes. Here was a man who was at heart corrupt in his public life. In fact, we are told how that he abused his power, how that he dealt in excess to such extent that a man like the Emperor Nero, and we know how wicked Nero was, the Emperor Nero had to call Felix to account for his excess and his corruption. And then in his private life, Felix was grossly immoral. He was given to shameful and unbridled lust. He was a notorious womanizer. He was a man having all of three wives. This woman by his side when he stood before Paul was actually his third wife. And history tells us that he acquired this wife in the most shameful, immoral manner. He actually hired, it is said, a sorcerer who bewitched her, who persuaded her to leave her husband, to marry. Here she was at this time. She was just 18 years old. She got married when she was around 13, 14. She was now 18, which means her marriage didn't last long because here was Felix. Immoral, grossly immoral as he was, having her now as his wife. And beloved, as Paul addressed the subject of self-control, he would certainly have informed Felix that no fornicator nor adulterer will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ, Ephesians 5 verse 5. He would have told Felix that true saving faith in Jesus Christ issues in holiness of life, that when the gospel takes a hold of a man, it changes him, it changes his morals, it changes his conduct. That man cannot continue to live in sin and claim to be Christian. He would have told Felix that having come to Christ, he could no longer live the way he was living. I tell you something, that was some preaching. Well, Paul spoke to Felix about righteousness. He spoke to him about self-control. But notice, thirdly, he spoke to him about judgment to come. In our day, there's very little on the subject of judgment. In fact, many people today believe, well, it's outmoded. It's kind of non-progressive, it's backward, because really what modern man wants to hear today is message of self-help, message of motivation. Those really are backward days. We don't want that kind of preaching in our time. But here's the point. Paul didn't think that way. Our Lord Jesus certainly didn't think that way, because you know, if you look at the Gospels, you discover Jesus spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. And among his constant messages was this: flee from the wrath which is to come. Jesus was not easy on the subject of judgment and hell. In Matthew 7:22-23, he spoke of judgment as that day on which many will say to him, Lord, Lord, have we not done such and such in your name? Have we not done this? Have we not done that? And then he will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And we need to hear those words with utmost sobriety, because notice here, these people were professing, Lord, haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? Haven't we done the other? You know, if we were to ask this morning, we were to ask people this morning, we were to go on the street this morning, we were to ask people, how does a man get to heaven? Are you on your way to heaven? I guarantee you nine out of ten times, you'd get a response like this. Well, I'm a member of a church. I was baptized this day. I give to the poor. I am a good neighbor. I don't consider myself a bad person. But may I suggest to you, based on what the Word of God teaches, it is very much possible that you could be a decent, upright, moral person. You could be a religious person. You could be in church every single Sunday. You could be baptized. You could be a nice person and still end in hell. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. And he says, these people who are going to be cast out will be saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Did we not do the other? And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Let me ask this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him at the center of your heart, at the center of your consciousness? And then the second question, the follow-up question is this, on what basis do you make that claim? Jesus spoke in John chapter 5 verses 28, 29 concerning judgment as a coming hour in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. And will come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. For it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. But after this, the judgment, there is a judgment coming, my friends. There is a judgment coming, a sure coming judgment when all the world someday is going to stand before a holy God to give an account. Acts 17 verse 31 speaks of it as a day fixed by God in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. What the word of God is saying here is this, the very fact that Jesus Christ is alive, the very fact that he rose from the dead is itself token that there is coming judgment. Paul was not afraid to declare to Felix that there is coming a day of wrath and indignation, a day of tribulation and anguish for every soul who rejects salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. We can imagine Paul declaring to Felix in no uncertain terms that if he continued in his path of rejecting the salvation, of despising God's goodness, of despising God's long-suffering, that he was in effect, the passage we read this morning, Romans 2, 4 and 5, he was treasuring up to himself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Hear me, beloved, hear me, friends, hear me on this. Hear the word of God. Every time you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, and particularly if your heart is stirred and you continue to resist, you continue to reject, you continue to say no, every single time you do that, what you are doing, the Word of God says, you are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Oh, my friends, hear what the prophet asks. Can your heart endure? Is your heart strong? In the day of judgment, that's what the prophet Ezekiel asks. These were things that Felix heard, and what a tremendous opportunity. What a tremendous opportunity Felix had to be saved. He stood before the greatest of preachers. Here was a man who was rightly informed. He had a reasonable knowledge of the Christian life. He was religiously inclined, a good man. He had a good heart, humanly speaking. He was concerned about the servant of Christ. He was curious about the things of Christ. But the sad thing is, as we're going to see, Felix was not saved. He was not saved. And the tragedy is this, my friends. There are many people who respect Jesus. There are many people who have reverence for Jesus. But when it comes to submitting to Jesus, they are not prepared. Why? Because they realize it is going to cost them their sins. And what does the Word of God ask? Our Lord Jesus asked the sobering question, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me say this, your precious possession is not your savings account, is not your 401k, is not your home, is not your car, it's not even your health. Your greatest possession, my friends, is your precious eternal soul. And if the soul is lost, the soul is forever lost. It means you have lost everything. You have lost everything. You have lost God. You have lost an eternity of bliss. And so, humanly speaking, if ever there was a man who was a sure candidate of salvation, it was certainly Felix. Reasonably informed about Christianity, religiously inclined, concerned for the servant of Christ, curious about the things of Christ. But notice something else in the passage. Here was a man who, under the preaching of the Word of God, was convicted by the Spirit of God. Do you notice that? Verse 25. But as he, that is Paul, was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened. Does that describe you this morning? Let me say this, that if that is your case, that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. Because to have your heart stirred under the preaching of the Word of God is a token of divine grace. Many today have not such promptings. Many today have not such sensations. Many today, my friends, are just going along with no stirrings of conscience, with no conviction of sin. Let me say this, what a wonderful thing it is to have Almighty God by His Spirit stirring the heart, driving holy fear in our hearts to run to Christ for refuge from the wrath which is to come. I came to Christ, and it's rarely I do this, but I came to Christ, or better yet, Christ came to me as a youngster at 16 years of age. And here is how it happened. Here's how it began. It all began with a message that was scary. Somebody says, do you continue to live like that? No, 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 no. Because when we come to Christ, we are able to testify like John Newton in that song, Amazing Grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Let me say this, that when we come to Christ for refuge, what we realize in Him, we realize not just insurance from hell, we realize life, we realize peace, we realize acceptance, we realize sonship, we realize that we are the beloved children of the Heavenly King. Having heard the preaching of the Word of God, Felix was profoundly moved. Who but the Spirit of God could have worked such reaction in this man's heart? Indeed, Scripture tells us the function of the Holy Spirit. What is His function? John chapter 16, verse 8. It is precisely this, to convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. He is the one who applies the gospel to our lives. He is the one who shows us our filthiness or wretchedness outside of Christ. He is the one who tugs at our hearts, who woos us to see our need for Christ as Savior. This man Felix felt the stirring, convicting power of the Spirit of God in his heart. He was alarmed. He panicked. But here's the tragedy. We have no record that he was saved. We have no record that he was saved. It may be that, like Felix this morning, maybe you have uneasiness in your heart. You have stirring in your heart. But let me say this, that until you turn to Christ for refuge, until you look to Him as Savior, until you definitely come to Him, until you turn from your sins, until you say, yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way, then those fears will do you no good. Because here's the point, even the devils believe and tremble, but they are lost. You know deep in your heart today you're not saved. You know that if you were to die today, you would die without hope and without God. You're fearful and terrified about it. Let me say this. That's the Spirit of God at work in you, doing His convicting work. And all you have to do by the grace of God is to say yes, is to come, is to say yes, is to come. I wish I had time to go into His fatal choices. He made some fatal choices, but let me close by saying this. The Word of God says this, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Felix said, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Here's the point. That time, as far as we know, never came. Read the very last verse of that chapter. At least 2 years, Paul had been discoursing with him. Yet we have no indication that he came to Christ. In fact, here's a sad thing. History tells us that not long after, he died a most shameful death. He died a most shameful death. He took his life. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if every word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord, but then was confirmed to us by those who heard him? That's what the writer of the Hebrews asked in Hebrews 2:1-3. So the message today is this. The good news is this, that we have in Jesus Christ. We always like to close with this. It's not all gloom and doom. Yes, there's a wrath to come, but the glorious news is this, that in Jesus Christ there is a way of escape. There is salvation. There is life eternal. There is grace. There is mercy for the taking. Will you not come? Will you not look to the Lamb? Will you not bow at the foot of the cross and say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way? I take you as my Savior, as my Lord. Amen.